Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Proverbs chapter 4 is where we will begin. I'm going to ask you if you have your Bible or the Equal Love. You can go there. If not, you can watch on the screen. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 20, it says, "My son, pay attention to what I say and turn your ear to my words." Everybody say, "God's word." Say it again, "God's word." "Don't let it out of your sight, but keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them. For they are life to those who find them. My word is life. The things that I say are life-giving, and they are health to one's whole body." The word of God is, or the Bible rather, is God's word for our lives. And this passage of scripture is describing the fact that God wants us to pay attention. Everybody say, pay attention.
Pay attention.
Not to everything going on around us, not to what everybody is saying or talking about or what's in the news, but pay attention, he says, to my word. Not because he is an arrogant God who is just being dictatorial in his demand, but rather because, as we read along here, he wants a better life for all of us. And so he's describing how that happens, and he's saying basically that when you read scripture and when you talk scripture and when you memorize Bible verses, you bring the dunamis, or the dynamite. That's the Greek word here. You bring the dynamite power of God into your mind, and you bring it into your spirit. You take it off of a page, and you bring it inside of you. We've all seen places where rock walls and mountains have been cut into with dynamite. Out in the mountains and the hills, if you go over the pass, you'll see where dynamite literally blew up a mountainside, allowing a road or a highway to go through. Well, God's word on the inside of us breaks down barriers and destroys walls and moves mountains and creates paths. Has anybody ever experienced what I'm talking about right now? It's like that word you heard, and then maybe the one you put to memory, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It was more than just a phrase that somebody said 2,000 years ago. It became your word, and you said it, and you said it again, and you felt power rising up within you as you said it. "I can do all things through Christ. No weapon formed against me will prosper." On the bad day when you felt like you were discouraged, you said something to the effect of, "I will rejoice, and again, I will rejoice." And you found in your life, anybody with me on this, you found that there's power in God's word. I know that many of you have experienced exactly what we're talking about today, but I want to tell you how, at the beginning of this year, to get closer into the word. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do is to bring your Bible and take notes in church. And we have an outline, an interactive outline that you can go to and follow along as I teach and talk on the weekend. Secondly, we have groups that get together during the week and just what we call talk it out. We have youth talk it out. We have small groups around the community. We have them on our campuses. Talk it out. We just talk out what we talk about on the weekend inside a group. Thirdly, you can download the YouVersion Bible app. Over 100 million people have done this in the last, I think, 15 years or so. It's amazing. And there's Bible, there's a verse for the day, and there's Bible reading program. There's an audio version you can listen to And however, in whatever many ways you do it, I just want to remind you, these verses are describing what happens when you get the power of God's word into your heart and you get it into your spirit. It brings life. Everybody shout life. It brings health. Everybody shout health. It makes you stronger, makes you better. Now we get to verse 23, and it shifts slightly, but he says, above all else, I want you to guard your heart. For everything that you do flows from it. Above all else means above all else. It means pay close attention, lean in on what I'm about to tell you. I've been telling you, you got to get the word. It'll bring life. It'll bring health. But now I want to tell you, above all else, you got to guard your heart. For out of it, or everything you do flows from it, or the King James Version would say, out of it flows the issues of life. What I want to share with you beginning this new series is that the phrase, out of it flows the issues of life, is actually the word boundaries. So you could read this in the original writings. It could read like this: guard your heart, for out of it comes the boundaries of your life. Guard your heart, for out of it comes the boundaries. Everybody shout boundaries. Boundaries. Say it again, boundaries. Boundaries. One more time, shout boundaries. The writer is saying that the limits of our life are not determined by people. The limits of our life are not determined by people that don't like you. That people, not determined by people that don't see your potential. So relax. Don't get all frustrated. You're trying to impress a boss or somebody that has influence, and they don't see what I can do. They don't see what I got. They don't see what's in me. Relax, chill. Don't hold it against them. They don't determine the boundaries of your life. And the boundaries of your life are not determined by circumstances, by the neighborhood that you grew up in, or by your family history, or the color of your skin. The boundaries of your life are determined by the content of your heart. So let's pause there just for a minute, because some of you are like, well, wait a minute, you don't know the neighborhood I grew up in. If you knew the neighborhood I grew up in, the minute you did that in your mind, the minute you do that, if you do that, what you're doing is you're revealing to me the content of your heart. It has nothing to do with the neighborhood. It has to do with what you think about the neighborhood you grew up in. So he's telling us here, guard your heart, for out of it comes the boundaries or the limits of your life. So first of all, put my word in your heart daily. Second, guard against the thoughts, the ideas, the negativity, the worldviews, the perspective, the bad spirit. You know, bad spirits like jealousy, envy, worry, hate. Why? Why do that? Like, why do that? Just because it's a nice Christian thing to do to not? No, because what's in your heart is determining the boundaries of your life. And what's in your heart is determining the limits and the growth and the size of your life. So for the sake of providing you a visual today, I want to introduce you to this visual. I call it the boundary ball. And the boundary ball is coming in and making its way through the audience and onto the stage. And if you happen to be here at our central campus, you know, stay out of the aisles right now, because here comes the boundary ball. The boundary ball. Somebody shout boundary ball. Say it again, boundary ball. Cheer for them. They're trying to get the boundary ball up here. Boundary ball. Boundary ball. Okay, so this is what I'm calling. Everybody say, hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
We're calling him Ben, okay? I just want to call this Ben's boundary ball. Okay, this is Ben's boundary ball. What I'd like everybody to do is I'd like you to compare the size of the room that we're in to the ball, the boundary ball. And I know some of you at our other campuses or online and so forth, we're giving you a good shot. You can probably see the stage and how small the ball is compared to the space. So the reason I'm wanting you to do that is because I'm wanting you to know, first of all, that the room I'm in is about 60 feet tall. It's 120 feet wide. And as big as the ball looks to us, compared to the room, it's really small. And I'd like you to imagine that the potential God has given to Ben is as big as the room. But I'd like you to imagine that Ben is creating his own boundaries that are keeping him and keeping his world at this size. So he's limiting his life to this size when God has given him everything out here and created the boundaries a whole lot bigger than he's actually living them. And let me tell you a little bit about Ben, all right? Ben's parents were in a messy divorce. And he grew up with that, and he wondered, was he the cause of it? And then he went on and he met somebody, and he had a relationship that went wrong. And so through that process of events and relationships and people he loved and things gone bad, Ben's become bitter, and Ben started shutting down, and Ben's closed up. Now, Ben's not a bad guy. Ben's a guy you work with. Ben's a guy that you go to church with. Ben's a good guy. He means well, but Ben's had a business failure, and now he feels like a failure. Because he thinks about his failure, and he talks about his failure, and he's focused on his failure, and he's insecure. He's made some assumptions about why bad things have happened to him. He looks around him, and he sees good things happening to other people, but for him, it just feels like, you know, everything he tries goes wrong, and so now he's got his own ideas and assumptions about why that's happening, that he's not smart enough, he doesn't have the right personality, he's not really gifted as some people or good with people. And then in addition with the things that have gone wrong, he doesn't like being told what to do. He's changed jobs 3 times trying to find a boss that he likes. Like, Ben's a really good guy, but I'm just telling you a little bit about Ben. He's moody, he's irritable, people don't like working with him. His friends are sarcastic and negative, but that's who he's comfortable with. And financially, he has no plan. He's strapped, I'm just telling you about Ben. Like, he's trying to keep his head above water financially. His church offered Financial Peace University, but he's like, I don't want to do that. I want to go around and look at my finances with others. I don't have enough money to even think about it anyway. Like, I barely make it anyway. That's Ben. Ben and his boundary ball. So now you have an idea, as I've told you about Ben, why he's living a lot smaller than God would give him potential to live and power to live. And now you know some of the story behind it, and you might want to just give Ben a big hug, like, and you might want to say, man, he's such a good guy. I agree with you. And you might want to say, he's on his way to heaven and he loves Jesus. Good. That's really huge. Like, that's the most important thing in life, right? But we still come back to the fact that out of your heart comes the boundaries of your life. We oftentimes take what we are doing to ourselves and then we ask God why. Without stopping long enough to think about the part we play and the things we allow to stay and the philosophies and concepts we adopt and the things when they're there in front of us we say, I can't do. Yeah, but you don't know. And then we're like, God, why don't you? And God looks back at us and he's like, why don't you? Like, I've given you more power than you're tapping into. I've given you more potential than you realize. I need you to get my word instead of all that other stuff. I need you to get my word in your heart. I need you to read it. I need you to look at it, even if it's a line a day, one verse a week. I need you to get it there. I need you to repeat it. I need you to write it on your mirror. I need you to remember the promises that I have made to you about your life. My love for you, my goodness for you, my favor that is on you. I need you to get a hold of that. Like while you're saying, God, why don't you? I'm looking at you and I'm going, come on, Ben. You don't have to live that way. Come on, Ben. If you'll allow me an opportunity to come into your heart and replace some of that negativity and some of that stuff that you are allowing to stay there, I have a whole lot bigger life waiting for you. Everybody say, moving back the boundaries. Say it again, moving back the boundaries. Tell a neighbor, I'm moving some boundaries. Come on, I'm moving some boundaries. Tell your other neighbor, I am too. We're doing this together. Come on, 2019, boundary moving opportunities are in front of all of us. Wow. Okay, let's give Ben a thank you. You are dismissed. I want you to leave the boundary ball here, though. I want it to stay. Okay. But I don't want you to have to sit in that limited, crazy space. So let's say thank you. Now, if you can write fast, I'm going to give you a few things. I'm not going to promise you how many I'll get to. I got several. But I want to today, in the first weekend of the series, I just want to talk about things you need to know about God's bigness. Things you need to know about God's bigness. I've got at least seven of them. Okay? If I don't get to them all, it's okay. Focus on what I give you. So when you start to get the bigness of God inside of you, is when things can begin to happen to move back boundaries in your life. The first thing that I've been talking about this, but I want to make it part of this list you're making, hopefully, is that God wants you to live a big life. God wants you, everybody shout me. Everybody shout big life. Say it again, big life. This is so different than how most people see God. The enemy has succeeded in making God out to be small-minded, grumpy, irritated, especially by people who would be in pursuit of a bigger life. That he wants to slap them back into space. Into their space. The truth is that God has given us permission, power, and potential to grow and expand our lives. He wants us to get bigger on the inside. Bigger on the inside. Hope that sticks. Bigger on the inside. Bigger on the inside. so that he can use us to move back the boundaries that our enemy uses to contain us and keep us small. Oh, I hope I'm helping somebody today. Like whether you are 16 or whether you are 66, this message is for you. God's not done with you yet. God's got a plan for you. Come on, you don't have to stay like you are. God wants you to live a big life. Number two, God's not bothered by your fears and failures. He's okay with your failures in the past. So he doesn't want you to go to the corner, stand in the corner because you were a bad boy, bad girl. He's not interested in bringing it up or holding it against you. He's even okay with your fears in the present. Like he gets your struggle. But he wants to help you. I said he wants to help you. All he's saying is get my word and get it in your heart. Where you're like going from, oh my God, I don't know if I can handle this. You're flipping over to no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Yes, yes. He gets the fear. He gets the worry. He just wants to help you in your struggle. And he wants to help us to get beyond every word that would shrink us and put boundaries on us. Number three, God wants you to live open and interactive and engaged life. It's a big one. When God comes into your world, he comes in the form of other people. I know you like you and him having your own thing going. I know. Like you're one of those people, I get it. I love my personal relationship with God too. But what I've learned is that when God speaks, he speaks through other people. And when God is working in me, he's working in me, and other people are involved. But what happens in humanity is that we have a tendency to become afraid of people. People hurt us. People reject us. We keep our distance. And here's what I want you to get a picture of today. The bigness of God is that God wants you to be and me to be the most teachable, coachable, unoffendable people on the planet. Fearless. We're fearless about what other people can do to hurt us. We're like open, we're vulnerable. Come on, let's go. Let's let this friendship that means so much to me, this relationship, these people, yes, I'm going to go jump in. Someone was just sharing with me today, and we were talking about our children that go over into our classes and how they're scared a lot of times to go. They want to stay with mom and dad. And I'm like, that's normal. Kids feel that way. They don't yet know, you know, what's going to be in that classroom. Well, let's just take that. If we don't get through a lot of that, we walk around in life and we follow this safe pattern. And God doesn't want us to play it safe. God wants us to be daring and courageous and adventurous and unafraid to go places we haven't been before. I'm talking about the bigness of God. He's big. Like he's like, don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself from the things I have for you that's coming through people. God wants us to be easy to talk to about hard things. Like it could be your husband, your wife, they're walking on eggshells. I don't know how many of you this would apply to on this weekend, but I can promise you that there's a lot of people that someone is running interference for you and explaining to the people around you that they can't talk straight to you, or they got to be careful because you've gone through this and you've gone through that. And you've had this, and somebody's running interference, and just be careful, my husband this, and my wife that. Is that really what you want? Or do you want to see God in all of his potential to heal that hurt? And to make you a person who's bigger than that, so you don't live with these boundaries? Am I making any, am I speaking to your heart today? God's got so much more. And we limit God when he's saying, I want you to engage. I want you to have the courage to interact. I want you to become a part of that life group, that small group. Number four, God wants us to have big faith, big vision, pray big prayers. Oh, I think it's just common for people to say, God, I know there's children that are hungry in third world countries and thirsty for water. And I know, God, this might seem really selfish, but God, I'm just asking you today, like God, if you could open up a door. I know, God, I know I have more than most people have on the planet right now, but if you could just open up a door so that, God, we could get to the next level in our family, and rather than renting the house that we're in, that we could buy it. I don't know if I should. People pray that way, apologetically, because our concepts about God, he's offended. He's like, stop it. There's children over here. And we've downloaded that idea of God. God's bigger than that. Like Jesus introduced us to the Father, who says if an earthly child, a son or daughter, like if a father wants to give that earthly child good things, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give good things to you? Like, stop limiting God and putting boundaries on your life that God's not put on you. Wow. Are you with me? Yeah. Bellevue? Are you with me? Tacoma? We're going to move some boundaries? Come on, online campus. Somebody say, I'm getting bigger. On the inside. Say, bring it on. I'm getting bigger. On the inside. Number five, God wants us to integrate into society. He wants us to be salt and light in the world. This means that he doesn't want us like to walk around critical of the world like a self-righteous Christian often does, looking down our nose at the bad world. It's going to hell in a handbasket. From our lofty places of arrogant religiosity. So small compared to the way God, like God wants us all to be bigger than being a fault finder. People find fault as if there's a reward for it. Like, please. Get bigger than that, church people. Church can be the meanest place sometimes because of critics and fault finders and condemners. God wants you and I to be bigger. And he doesn't want us to go out into the world with condemnation. He wants us to go out in the world to be light and be salt and to make a difference and to bring a word to people who are in our lives that would lift and encourage and would help them to see something better. And God's bigger than God, did you know they do this? And God, did you know they did that? Yeah, I'm just gonna go tell them how wrong that is, God. God's like, shut up. Let me work in their life. You go over and love on them. You go over there and care for them. Amen. God wants us to grow relationally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. And lastly, God wants us to buy land, buildings, and occupy physical space. Ooh. One of the false things that religion has taught people is that getting rid of all worldly possessions is a sign of greater commitment and loyalty to God. That's one of the things religion has proclaimed, and kind of, it's like a given in people who just think about God and religion and, oh, you're a Christian, is that there's like this bottom line idea that if you're really going to be a good Christian, then you should renounce your right to own things, buy things, grow in wealth, increase, prosper. And it's so backwards. It's something that the enemy has done in people's minds that has created these boundaries, where there's a lot of talented people who aren't letting their ideas just flourish in places of prayer and confidence and faith because they feel condemned. There's great Christian people who are like, no, that's selfish. It's not selfish to buy land and property, and that's not what selfish is, when you don't give out of what you have. Now you're getting into selfish. It's not selfish to go after the property and to increase and to grow and to get big and to think big. That's not selfish. What's selfish is what you do with what you have and how generous you are. So selfish has nothing to do with how much property you own, or even if you have any property to own. People who have nothing can be selfish. And people who own a lot can be generous. And so heaven is looking for kingdom builders and legacy-minded people who, again, are big. Am I helping anybody? Am I speaking truth about the bigness of God? I'm talking about the bigness of God. Big enough on the inside to move back boundaries and to live big lives on behalf of heaven. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So what I just did is I told you two things, verses that I put in my heart years ago, which pushes back the boundaries of typical concepts and ideas. And when I would feel like, well, ooh, I'm just supposed to live my life in a really small way and like over in the corner of the world, and that's what real Christians do. They go to the mountain and they cross their legs and they go, and they have no possessions, and like we retreat instead of attack. Like, there's all these crazy ideas that people have, but it just denies the bigness of God. But I got these two words. They just came out of my mouth. That the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He hasn't given up on the earth. He hasn't turned his back on the earth. He claims the earth. The earth is the Lord's. It doesn't belong to darkness. It doesn't belong to the enemy. It belongs to the Lord. And the wealth of the wicked, the wealth of the wicked, it's not going to stay there. There's a major shift coming. Prophetically, it says it over and over and over again in Scripture. But we've got to move back the boundaries of our heart and make room and say, God, whatever portion of that you want to put into my life so that we are advancing and moving forward, when I sign a piece of paper and a document, Lord, that says I've purchased this property and this land, you know, God, that my name's on the contract, but it belongs to you. This is your property. This is God's property. I'm taking dominion. Come on, let's stand together. Let's clap together. Let's celebrate the bigness of God.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give, or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.